This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Daniel Blomberg with us on the program. Daniel is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, a nonprofit public interest legal and educational institute whose mission is to protect the free expression of all faiths. Prior to joining the Beckett Fund, Daniel clerked for Chief Justice Alice M. Batchfelder of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit and also formerly served as litigation counsel with our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom. Daniel is an attorney for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty on a critical religious freedom case that is currently before the U.S. Supreme Court, Little Sisters of the Poor v. Burwell, and oral arguments are scheduled to begin in this case in March. Daniel is with us today to talk about the Little Sisters of the Poor case and why it should matter to every person of faith in America. Daniel, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, Daniel, as we begin, tell us about the Little Sisters of the Poor. Who are they and what community do they serve?
Well, the Little Sisters of the Poor are 175-year-old order of nuns that take care of elderly poor people all around the world. They've been in the United States for well over 100 years, and they do exactly the same thing here that they do everywhere. They take care of those people that they can't take care of themselves and whom nobody else is taking care of. And they do it by things like begging. They go out and they ask folks to provide them the resources they need. The Little Sisters were founded by literally a saint, Saint Jean Jougan, who in France noticed an elderly poor woman shivering on the side of the road. And she brought that woman to her house, gave her her bed, took care of that woman there at her house. And that's kind of the mission. That's the way the sisters approach everyone that they serve. So one of the things you'll hear them say consistently is they serve each person as if that person was Jesus Christ themselves.
Well, Daniel, how in the world does an organization like Little Sisters of the Poor, as you said, that has been around for 175 years serving the elderly poor, how did they get involved in a legal battle that has made it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Reluctantly. The Little Sisters tried over and over and over again not to be where they're at today. The federal government proposed a rule that would require employer-based health care to include abortion-inducing drugs and contraceptives. Now, the Little Sisters of the Poor are Catholics, and they don't think that they can be involved in providing those kinds of services. They think that's wrong for them to do that, which really isn't a surprise to anyone who's familiar with Catholic belief. And a lot of other religious believers share very similar beliefs, which is why a lot of non-Catholic Protestant organizations are with the sisters in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. So the sisters went to the government and they said over and over again, please don't force us to be involved in this. You know, the federal government has its own programs that it spends hundreds of millions of dollars on every year to give out free contraceptives. And the sisters didn't say that the government had to stop doing that. And the government set up its own health care exchanges where it can provide health care to people all around the country. The sisters didn't say the government couldn't use those things to give out contraceptives. In fact, they said, listen, you can't force us to do it. That's a violation of our religious rights. It's a violation of federal law. But you can do these other things, which points up a really important part of this case. And that is, the sisters aren't trying to stop anyone from getting contraceptives. They're trying to stop the government from forcing them to be involved.
So it's completely a religious-based decision that impacts their ministry and their beliefs as far as how they live those beliefs out in their daily lives and through the ministry that they're participating in.
That's right.
Well, what about the Obamacare mandate in the Affordable Care Act? As I understand it, there is a religious exemption for churches and church-affiliated ministries. Why can't the Little Sisters of the Poor receive an exemption from the government as opposed to the government imposing this contraceptive mandate on the Little Sisters?
Well, you're probably going to want to hold on to your hat for this one, but the government said that the Little Sisters of the Poor, an order of nuns that has been faithfully following the teachings of the Catholic Church for 175 years, they're not religious enough to get an exemption. The government says that bishops and other types of ministries that are closely controlled by churches, those are exempt. But the Little Sisters of the Poor and other kinds of ministries that, for a variety of reasons, both practical and theological, aren't directly controlled by churches, those ministries have to provide these drugs, the government says. And the government was very candid about its rationale for it. It said, listen, we think that people who work for churches are more likely to share the church's beliefs. We think those entities are more religious entities. But you, little sisters, you mission agencies and things of that nature, you're not religious enough, which should give any reasonable person significant concern that the government's even walking around in the first place telling people who's religious enough and who's not. And then when you go the next step and they're saying the little sisters of the poor aren't religious enough, well, that should concern any sentient being.
That's just amazing. Now, the government argues that the little sisters can simply opt out by using the so-called religious accommodation it has created. Explain for us, if you will, why the little sisters say that this opt-out option still essentially requires them to violate their faith.
Well, for the very simple reason that the federal government has been very clear that they want to use the little sisters' employer-based health care to provide these drugs, right? There's no option that the government's providing the sisters that allows them to be treated like churches, which is, we're going to leave you alone. We're going to let you run your ministry the same way you've been running it for 175 years, and we'll go do our own thing with our own health care plans. No, the federal government insists on using the Little Sisters of the Poor health care plan and insists on forcing the Little Sisters to sign the piece of paper that gives the government permission, gives their health care providers permission to take over their plan and use it to deliver abortion drugs. And listen, the government doesn't force massive companies like Visa or Chevron and other companies like that to do this at all. The government has exempted them completely. In fact, about one-third of Americans aren't on health care plans that are subject to this Obamacare contraceptive mandate. And so for the government to come around over here and say, oh, but we need you to do this and this is just an opt-out, that's not true. It's a false statement that's being given by the government. In fact, they're trying to force the sister to take action that violates their faith, actions they don't require of churches, they don't require of huge businesses like Visa, and they don't even require of themselves. The country's, and indeed the world's, biggest employer, the Department of Defense, provides for the military a type of health care called TRICARE that doesn't include these drugs on it. It doesn't include the mandate that you have to provide every FDA-approved contraceptive and abortion-inducing drug. You know, and so the government gives itself a pass. It gives big businesses like Visa a pass. It gives big municipalities like New York City a pass. But when it comes to the Little Sisters of the Poor, it says you have to knuckle under, you have to obey, or we'll literally fine you $70 million a year every year.
Daniel, many people who are not familiar with the Little Sisters case might be wondering why the Supreme Court's landmark decision in Hobby Lobby and the Conestoga Wood case does not apply to the Little Sisters of the Poor and other similarly situated ministries. So the Supreme Court basically says that Hobby Lobby and these other closely held businesses don't have to provide contraceptives or operate under that contraceptive mandate. What's the difference? Explain that for us, if you will.
Well, two words, Rube Goldberg, right? So the government has set up a Rube Goldberg scheme where it says, hey, we're not making you do the thing that we were forcing Hobby Lobby to do. Okay, they had to directly put the drugs on their health care plans themselves and pay for the drugs. You have to sign a piece of paper that causes the drugs to be on your health care plan, and we'll pay for it. And the sisters are saying, hey, listen, it's not about the money. It's about the complicity.
Mm-hmm.
You're forcing us to participate in your scheme to deliver these drugs, and we're an integral part of that. We're the ones who make this system go. We're at the heart of the scheme, and we can't do that. And so the Hobby Lobby decision that the Supreme Court issued does very much help the Little Sisters of the Poor, but the government has argued that they've changed the scheme just enough that they should be able to force the nuns to violate their faith, even though they're not allowed to force the business owners to violate their faith.
So do you think the Hobby Lobby case is going to be a significant factor, or at least the Supreme Court's going to be looking at their opinion in the Hobby Lobby case to possibly attempt to remain consistent to some degree, or do you think they could go off in a completely different direction considering the fact circumstances of this case?
Oh, they'll definitely be looking at the Hobby Lobby case quite a bit. And part of the reason for that is the government's arguments here are so very similar. So the government in the Hobby Lobby case said, listen, you're not the one who's making anybody use these drugs, right? You provide the health care plan, you pay for the drugs, you put the drugs on there, but you don't know if anybody's actually going to use them, right? So there's, it's speculation. You don't know if you're actually involved in anything bad ever happening. Well, that's basically what the government's saying to the little sisters. In fact, the government's been much more derisive about it. And it told the sisters that they're fighting an invisible dragon. I quote language to you. They said to courts, the sisters are fighting an invisible dragon they can vanquish with their own pen, which is just remarkably derisive. But it boils down to the same basic argument that, hey, sisters, we're not asking you to do anything that your faith says you can't do. And the simple response to that is the same response that came up in the Hobby Lobby case that the Supreme Court ruled on, which is government officials don't get to tell religious people what their religious beliefs should be, right? Government officials have to respect those beliefs. They don't get to determine them or try to manipulate them or change them.
Amen. Now, Daniel, if the little sisters do not comply with the Obamacare mandate, what kinds of fines could they face, and what impact would that have on their ability to even continue serving the elderly poor?
Well, the government has threatened the little sisters with fines in the neighborhood of about $70 million a year, every year going forward. And, I mean, you don't have to be a math whiz or a business major to understand that's a very painful punishment for ministering to elderly poor people according to your faith. And what's really important here is that there's a very easy solution, right? Even if you, as many people do, think that it's the HHS mandate is a great policy matter, you know, providing free contraceptives countrywide, that doesn't mean you have to make the sisters get involved.
Absolutely. Well, Daniel, for those of our listeners who may hear about this case and kind of shrug it off as really only a case that concerns Catholic ministries, how important is the outcome of the Little Sisters case to religious liberty across this country? Why does it matter to people of faith? Why should it matter to people of faith? And what's at stake if the Little Sisters happen to lose this case?
Well, first, it's just wrong to think that it's just about Catholic ministries. There are dozens of Baptist and Presbyterian and other types of religious ministries in front of the Supreme Court standing side by side with the Little Sisters. In fact, there are Jewish organizations and Muslim organizations that filed briefs saying, listen, this is wrong what the government's doing to the Little Sisters. So this is not just as a factual matter, this isn't just about Catholic ministries. That should be enough for any of us to care about, because we don't want to see civil rights being crushed for other people. Further, just think about it for a second. If the federal government can come to the Little Sisters of the Poor and say, listen, you're not religious enough to have your religious beliefs protected, and I'm going to force you to violate a core, fundamental, well-known religious belief on pain of crushing penalties. Well, if they can do that to nuns who take care of elderly poor people, they can do almost anything to almost any of us. Right? So this gets back to the fundamental basis of religious liberty, and in many ways it gets back to the fundamental basis of civil liberty in our society. If we are the kind of people that will unnecessarily crush the sincere religious beliefs of folks like the Little Sisters of the Poor, we will not respect the civil rights for free speech, for free association, for any number of different types of rights and liberties that we enjoy as a nation. Right? So this comes down, this is in many ways an acid test of who we are as a people. And so this is something that people need to be paying attention to, they need to be caring about, they need to educate themselves about, because it will make a big difference on a day-to-day basis for thousands of ministries and millions of people all across our nation.
Well said. I couldn't agree more. Unfortunately, Daniel, we're just about out of time for this week, but I want to give you an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can go to learn more about the Little Sisters of the Poor case and also the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty.
That's right. So please go to the Beckett Fund's website, beckettfund.org. That's BECKETFUND.org. You can see right at the top of the website, over on the left-hand side, there's a little button for the Little Sisters. You can go to a page that tells you all about this case. Take a look at it.
Daniel Blomberg, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us on Family Policy Matters and for your great work with the Beckett Fund. We are in prayer for you with the Little Sisters of the Poor case, and we're so appreciative of all the work that you do to protect religious liberty across our nation.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to do it.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.